The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon is taken from the Old Testament lesson, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, how rapid is the flight of time. Like an ever-rolling stream, the days and the weeks and the months rush away to be swallowed up by the sea of eternity. Year follows upon year with almost astonishing swiftness. We are born into the world, pass through the years of childhood and youth, into the prime of manhood and womanhood, enter old age, and arrive at the portals of death, seemingly before we are aware of it. The hymnist writes, as the winged arrow flies, speedily the mark to find, as the lightning from the skies, darts and leaves no trace behind, swiftly thus our fleeting days bear us down life's rapid stream. If ever the swiftness of time forces itself upon our attention, it is when we come to the end of another year. The year 2018, with all its joys and sorrows, its weal and woe, its blessings and hardships, its successes and disappointments, is all but gone. Soon a new year will have been ushered in, and who knows, it may be the last one, for some of us, or even for all of us, or for none of us. For the children of the world, there is something baffling and disturbing in the thought of time's rapid flight. Even the world feels how time rushes constantly onward and all things are hurrying toward the end. But not for long do the worldly-minded people allow their thoughts to dwell on the fact that with each succeeding year, their time on earth is becoming shorter. They bid farewell to the old year and greet the dawning of the new year with rowdy clamour, as if they want to drown out every serious thought. They give the reins to their lusts and indulge their vices to excesses, as if to bid defiance to God, to whom they must one day give an account for the manner in which they have spent their days on earth. But not so with the Christian. He is not unimpressed by the swiftness of time's flight. He is not insensible to the seriousness of time and eternity. This makes him all the more sober and thoughtful. For this reason he will, particularly at a time like this, when the old year wanes and new year is about to dawn, pause and give serious thought to the lessons he is to learn from the rapid flight of time. His prayer will be that of Moses, the man of God, who says in our text, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Let us therefore prayerfully consider the wisdom to which the thoughts of time's rapid flight should move our hearts. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the wisdom not to set our affections on the things of this world. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses is prompted to make this prayer by thinking of the swift passing of time and the short span of life of men on earth. He prays that the thought of time's headlong flight may move his heart to wisdom, that he may use the few days allotted to him in this life wisely and well. David utters a similar prayer in Psalm 39. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapour. And that is a prayer of all true Christians. We cannot number our days in such a way as to ascertain just how many years we shall live on earth. Our life may be cut short at any time. When this will be is known only to God. But we can and should number our days in the sense that we consider that the years of our life are few and that they are rapidly flying away. The best that we can expect is the 70 or 80 years mentioned in our psalm from the Old Testament lesson for today. People today have as much reason as did Jacob to say, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. Moreover, we have to pray with Moses that we may learn to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Worldly people do not like to think of the brevity of life here on earth. They shun the thought of death. It is said that the great financier, Andrew Carnegie, would not permit anyone to speak of death in his presence. Most unbelievers live and act as though they are going to continue in this world forever. With a whole heart they cling to the things of this world, its riches and honour and pleasures. What folly! How soon the riches and pleasures of this world become as ashes in the mouth. How short the time when even the richest person in the world comes to the bounds of life and must leave behind the world and all the things held so dear. Suppose that a person was journeying through a trackless desert and would, instead of pitching a tent or making a temporary shelter, laboriously dig a deep foundation and carefully build a solid structure, as he would if he was building a permanent home, only to leave it behind after a short journey with never a regret. Such is the folly of the worldly-minded person who sets his heart's affections on the things of this world. In view of how brief our life on earth is, it is wisdom not to set our heart's affections on the things of this world. That is the wisdom which the Word of God teaches us in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The Christian is to regard his life here on earth merely as a brief journey. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow." And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Therefore the Christian says, "What is the world to me? It rapidly must vanish, with all its gorgeous pomp, pale death it cannot banish. Its riches pass away, and all its joys must flee. But Jesus doth abide. What is the world to me?" So secondly, the wisdom to use our time here on earth to prepare for a blissful hereafter. The worldly-minded person does not like to think of the time when he will have to leave the world. Yet occasionally the thought of time's rapid flight will force itself upon him, as when the old year passes away and the new year arrives. The death of a relative or friend will compel him to consider that someday, and that only too soon, he also must die. Then he too will number his days. But how? His numbering his days will move his heart not to wisdom, but to folly. The worldly-minded person may hear the warnings of the Word of God. His conscience will tell him that he must one day give an account to God for his life on earth, and that a failure to stand in the judgment will mean eternal damnation for him. But in his supreme folly, he ignores the warnings of God's word and throttles his conscience. He seeks to lull himself into the belief that there is no existence after death, no life beyond the grave, and that death ends all. And in order to bolster up this foolish belief, he will resort to scoffing at the Christian's belief in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to judgment. Just as Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things will continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Wrapped up in the delusion that death ends all, such a person is prompted by the thought of life's brevity to use the short time he has on earth in the enjoyment of all that the world has to offer. His watchword is, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for for tomorrow we shall die. Thus he will go through life, consuming his days in a hectic chase after things with which to satisfy his fleshly appetites and lusts, utterly heedless to the future, until he is overtaken by death and meets the fate that befell the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Our text says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Few and brief are the years that we have in this life before eternity is upon us. True wisdom dictates that we use it to prepare for a blissful hereafter." Many a person thinks, "There are so many things that I want to do here on earth, so many things that I want to enjoy. I shall put off preparing for yonder world till I am tired of what this world has to offer, time enough to prepare for heaven when I am older." But do not the passing years show what folly this is? The time is short, shorter perhaps than you think. Wisdom tells you to prepare for eternity, for a blissful hereafter, now while you still have time. Scripture says in Psalm 95, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We know that if death finds us in sin and unbelief, ours will not be a blissful hereafter. Many people are mindful of the nearness of eternity and strive to prepare for a blissful hereafter, but they try by their own efforts, through their own good works, to work out their own righteousness in which to stand in the judgment of God. This is folly, because it is futile. We read in Psalm 143, "For in God's sight no one living is righteous." So only is a person prepared for a blissful hereafter who has found Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Redeemer. No one and nothing else can help. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is our true Saviour. Through his life and obedience and suffering and death, he won pardon, peace and grace for all people. He is still the mediator between sinners and God. The salvation which Christ won for all sinners is the gift of God to all who believe and trust in him. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It is wisdom to prepare for a blissful hereafter by using the brief time allotted to us here on earth to lay hold on Christ through faith and to become ever stronger in faith. By our own reason or strength, we can neither believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him, nor can we abide in the faith. God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, would, however, through his Holy Spirit convert us, bring us to faith, and sanctify and keep us in the faith. In order that this may be done, we must make diligent use of the means of grace, whereby the Holy Spirit accomplishes his saving work in us. This includes also that we, like St. Paul, make Christ our chief pursuit in life, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we fight against sin, be on our guard against temptations of the devil and the world, suppress the evil inclinations of our flesh, show forth our faith in a life of godliness and good works, and that we constantly pray to God for the will and the strength to do all of this. May the thought of time set at flight remind us constantly to pray, as the hymnist writes, as we sang before, "Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die so that I may rise glorious at the judgment day." So thirdly, the wisdom to work while it is day. Jesus came into the world to work, which his heavenly Father had given him to do. Constantly he laboured to carry out his task, at times even not allowing himself time for refreshment and rest. So why the ceaseless activity? John says in John chapter 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, and the night is coming when no one can work." God has placed us in this world, not that we may pass our time in idleness, or in pursuit of our own selfish interests. We have work to do for God. We are to serve Him by being of service to our fellow men. The fleeting years remind us that our time here on earth is limited, that our day of life and opportunity is rapidly drawing to a close, and that the night of death is drawing near, the night when no man can work. It is certainly wisdom to work while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. We have work in the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ. We must labour to foster and maintain the gospel ministry in our own midst, as well as to extend the kingdom of Christ. There is much to be done. The time is short. The night is coming. Let us work while it is day. We also have duties toward our fellow men. The second table of the Ten Commandments instruct us on this matter. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Through love, serve one another." Let us not neglect present opportunities. Now is the day, but the night is coming. Our fellow men will not long be with us, nor we with them. Let us work while it is day, thus showing forth our faith in Christ, so that when He summons us from this world, we may hear the welcome words of Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And finally, the wisdom to be patient and to rejoice amid tribulations. That this world is indeed a vale of tears, particularly for the child of God, is stated by the Scriptures and borne out by common experience. Not only is a Christian reduced to sorrow and suffering by all the ills to which the flesh is heir, such as poverty, sickness and death, but he must also with Christ bear affliction, tribulation, persecution and shame that are heaped upon him by Satan and the ungodly world. The rapid flight of time, however, teaches us that our life of tribulation and sorrow in this world is not for long. It is only a little while. In only a little while, God will in mercy make an end of all suffering and sorrow by graciously taking us from this vale of tears through death. So it is wisdom to be patient. Not only is it wisdom to be patient in view of the brief duration of our life in this vale of tears, but it is also wisdom to rejoice in the tribulations and sorrows of this present life. That the unbelieving child of the world will not and cannot patiently endure the sufferings of this world, even though they be of a brief duration, will often seek to end his misery by taking his own life, is not to be wondered at, for he has no hope to sustain him. But the Christian does have hope for the future, so great and so blessed, that he cannot only be patient, but will be able to rejoice in tribulation. For after this brief life here on earth, God will graciously take us from this vale of tears to himself in heaven. There will be perfect rest and peace. Nothing that is in this world that gave us sorrow or pain can reach us there. There will be joy unadulterated and unending. We shall see Jesus face to face and shall be forever with him, in whose presence is fullness of joy, and at whose right hand there are pleasures for evermore. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Make that your prayer tonight, and every night of your lives. Let the thought of time's rapid flight keep you from setting your heart's affections on the things of this world. Let it move you to prepare for a blissful hereafter. Let it prompt you faithfully and diligently to do the work which God has given you to do here on earth while it is day, before the night comes when no man can work. So, just as an exile from home eagerly counts the days and the months and the years yet remaining before he can leave his prison and return to his home and loved ones, and rejoices at the flight of time, so you also learn to number your days here on earth and rejoice that you are drawing nearer and nearer to the time when your journey through life will be done and you'll be at last in your heavenly Father's home. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.